Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live in the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and today we're here with a new session in our study called The Power of Eight. This week, it's week number 14, and we're glad you're with us because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're looking at the eight essential truths every Christian needs to know. Who is Jesus? Is the Word of God authoritative in our lives? Can we trust what it says? Can we trust that it's actually the Word of God? This new covenant, when Jesus died on a cross, his blood ratified this new covenant. So he put an end to the old and ushered in the new, and it's that covenant that we live in today. The cross was sufficient to take away our sins once and for all. So as believers, we stand before God as forgiven people. We have a brand new identity. And these last 2 weeks, last week and this week, we're talking about law and grace. And then next week, we'll look at the life in the Spirit, what the fruit of the Spirit really looks like in our day-to-day lives. So today is more of law and grace. And far from being a dull theological subject, this is some of the most exciting stuff you will ever hear, because it will revolutionize your Christian life if you really understand this way of grace, that you are to live by grace through faith in Jesus, not through rules and regulations. Yeah. So last week we got to the point and realized that as children of God, we're no longer under the law, but we're under the grace of God. Mm-hmm. And the reason we're under the grace of God is because Christ Jesus fulfilled the law in its entirety. Paul said in Romans 10 that he's the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. You can't be declared righteous through works of the law. No. It's just impossible for that to happen. So if you're going to be declared righteous, it's going to be as a free gift. You're going to be justified freely by the grace of God. So he put an end to the law of righteousness. He redeemed us from the curse of the law so that we could receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, this law has been fulfilled in us, which leads to the question, how then should we live? How should we carry on in this Christian life as believers in Christ? Well, we're to be led by the Spirit. That's the good news. God has sent his Spirit to take up residence in us. And the Spirit of God leads us and guides us into all truth. The Spirit of God renews our minds. The Spirit of God empowers us to live in this world as children of God. So we ended last week with this great passage from Galatians chapter 2, verse 19. It says this, "For through the law I died to the law so that I might live for God." You can't live for God under the law. No. You're just living for yourself. You're constantly trying to judge how you're doing, how you're performing as a believer. So it's all about you. So you wake up in the morning and you say, "Lord, I'm going to do my best for you today. I'm going to be your guy. I'm going to live out what you've given me to do." Yeah. And so automatically you've put yourself under rules and regulations and human effort. At the end of the day, you're saying to the Lord, "I'm sorry, I failed you. I blew it, just like I did the day before, just like I did the day before that." And so we have to come to the point and die to the law so that we might live for God and actually have the life of Christ being lived out through us. So as believers in Christ, we have died to the law so that we can live unto God. Now, Paul really helps us understand this with an illustration out of the book of Romans, Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. And he uses the Old Testament law as an example for us. Mm-hmm. And he uses it as far as marriage is concerned. So he starts out in this chapter, "Do you not know, brother?" So he asks this question several times throughout, and he's asking it in a way that you ought to know this. So he says, "Do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to men who know the law, that the law has authority over a man only as long as he lives." So there is a time limit to the authority of the law in a person's life. Mm-hmm. And that time limit is from birth till death. Okay? So once a person dies, then you've been released from the law. The law does not speak anything after death.
Right.
So that's the end. That's the time frame. So he says, for example, by law, a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Mm-hmm. So you enter into this covenant of marriage, and it says you will not separate until death do you part. And the law maintained that you must stay in that relationship.
Yeah.
The only way out is death. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's it. So if your husband dies, then you're released from the law of marriage. So then if she marries another man while her husband is still alive, she is called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is released from that law and is not an adulteress according to the law, even though she marries another man. Why? Because the husband has died, and so that law of marriage has come to an end as far as that couple is concerned.
Yeah.
She's been released, and now she's free to marry someone else. So, my brothers, here's the good news. You also died to the law through the body of Christ. So we died in Christ Jesus, and we did so that we might belong to another. So when we came into this world, we were controlled, we were mastered by sin and death. Okay? We were married to sin and death. And the law kept us in that relationship. So for us to be set free, we had to die. And so in Christ, we died. We have died in Christ so that we can belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead. So now we belong to Jesus Christ. He paid the price. We belong to him. And this is the good news. Because we belong to him, now we can bear fruit to God. We couldn't do that under the law. Why? Because sin was in control. Sin was our master. And no matter how hard we tried to produce good, sin kept flowing out of us. That was our nature. But all of that has been changed through faith in Jesus Christ. We die in Christ. We've been raised to walk in the newness of life. So he says, for when we were controlled by the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our bodies so that we bore fruit for death. So that law, when we were lost, it brought up sinful passions. So don't commit adultery. And so your flesh is saying, commit adultery with who? And that desire starts to grow and grow and grow. And you find that you're giving in to those desires of the flesh. Why? Because those sinful passions were aroused by the do-nots of the law. And you bore fruit for death. But now, by dying to what once bound us, so we've died to sin and death, we've died to the law, we've been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. So guess what, folks? As believers in Christ, you have died in Christ. And because you have died, you have been released from the law of sin and death. Mm-hmm. The law of sin and death has nothing more it can say to you. Why? Because you've died and you've been raised to walk in the newness of life. And this newness of life is in the new way of the Spirit, not in the old way of the written code.
Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody, with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and it's our weekly study, The Power of Eight. And we're glad that you're with us today. And Bob, as I've noted before, our regular listeners are exposed every day to this incredibly good news of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. But now we have a terrific opportunity for our listeners to come and hear everything put into a free-flowing fountain of teaching and study with Bob Christopher, that of God's grace, of course, in the Simply Grace Conference. All the information is available at Basic Gospel. .net/events. Now, the conference is less than a month away now, friends, so we hope you've already registered, and if you haven't, that you will do that today or maybe over this weekend. But we hope to see you September 6th and 7th for the Simply Grace Conference. Again, you'll get all the information at basicgospel.net/events. But now back to our study, The Power of Eight.
Well, thanks, Bob. So we've died to the law, and so the law has been completed in us. The wages of sin is death. We've died in Christ. Now it has nothing more to say to us. We have been released from it. We've been joined to another, Jesus Christ himself. And now we live in the new way of the Spirit, not in the old way of the written code. So if that's true, if the law has nothing more to say to us, then what in the world was the purpose? And that's the question that people were asking the Apostle Paul back in the day. And that's the question people have been asking for 2,000 years. What is the relationship of the law, the Mosaic covenant, those Ten Commandments, to the believer today? And there's many, many different ideas. But I think the Word of God is very clear that we are no longer under the law. We are being led by the Spirit of God. So if that's the case, what was the purpose of the law? Well, first and foremost, the law was for the lost. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. So that law diagnoses our problem. It shows us our sinfulness. It shows us our need for a Savior. And when it does, we become accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. So what does the law do? It points out our sin.
Yeah.
So if you're driving a car and you're going 85 miles an hour and you see a sign that says 55, what does that sign tell you? It tells you you're speeding, that you're in violation of the law, that you have broken that command as far as driving is concerned. So the Ten Commandments is like that sign. When we put ourselves up next to that sign, next to those Ten Commandments, those Ten Commandments show us our sinfulness, and we become conscious of it. Well, we needed to become conscious of it so that we could turn to Christ for salvation. So the law is for the lost. It points out our need. It shows us our sinfulness, and it shows our need for salvation. So Paul asked the question in Galatians 3, what then was the purpose of the law? It was added because of transgressions until the seed to whom the promise referred had come. But the scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin, so that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. Before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith.
Yeah.
It's impossible for us to be justified by observing the law. It can't be done. The only thing the law is going to do for us is to make us conscious of sin. It's going to show us our need. And once it's fulfilled that purpose, it steps aside so that Christ can do his work in our lives, in saving us by his very grace, and then empowering us to live as children of God in this world. Now, this is what the Bible says, and it's very, very clear. I don't know why there's argument over this particular issue, but there is. There are so many people out there that don't want to let go of that Mosaic covenant. Mm-hmm. They think if they let go, they're just going to be released out into this wild frenzy orbit of licentiousness and do anything and everything contrary to the Word of God. But we see that when you're under the law, it's the sinful passions that get aroused, and under the law, sin does its best work in bringing fruit for death.
Yes.
So when we're released from that, now we're free to allow Christ to do his work in us. And Christ is never going to lead us to sin. Christ is never going to lead us down a path of unrighteousness. As a matter of fact, Christ is going to teach us how to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and how to live righteous, upright lives in this present generation.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to recognize this Christian life is a life of faith in Jesus. As Paul said in Galatians 2:20, we live by faith in the one who loved us and gave himself for us. So if you're not convinced of this truth, then you need to recognize some things. And the first thing is the weakness of human effort. If you're trying to live the Christian life through human effort, you're going to fall flat on your face time and time again. I did that for so many years, and just about every other Christian I've ever met has had that experience as well. So we have to come to grips with this fact: apart from Christ, we can do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Zilch, nada, nothing. Now, Paul was very subtle in his message to the Galatians. He said, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. And I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort?" It doesn't make sense.
No.
But that's what was happening at the church in Galatia. That's what's happening today. We enter into this relationship with God by grace through faith in Jesus. And once we enter in, now we think it's up to us. We think it's up to our human effort to live as children of God. Well, we just can't do it. And as Paul says, if you believe that, then you've been bewitched.
Yeah.
Then you've been fooled into believing a lie. Christ saved you by grace. He's going to complete the work by grace. That's just how it is.
Yeah.
Now, again, if you don't think that's the way, then listen to this. The law's standard is perfection. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Not just some of it, but all of it.
Right.
So the smallest violation constitutes a breach of the whole thing. That's just the way it is. God does not grade on a curve.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't look at the best person and judge everybody according to that. Well, he kind of does, because the best person is Jesus.
That's right.
And next to him, we all fail, don't we?
Absolutely.
So the standard is perfection, and that's why he says, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Nothing less will do.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's Basic Gospel, everybody, the Power of Eight. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and thank you for joining us. Glad you're with us. Let me remind you that it's only because of the gifts of our faithful friends that we're able to be on the air and online every day proclaiming this truth of Jesus Christ in the New Covenant. We hope that you'll help by donating today at basicgospel.net. You know, people in more than 120 countries have been touched in one way or another by the message they hear on Basic Gospel, and we can't underestimate the power of the gospel to reach people's hearts if only they can hear it through their ears. At Basic Gospel, we want to take this gospel of grace and Jesus Christ to many new places where people are hungry for a message of hope. But we can't do it without you, as I said, and many more, of course, who will step up to help get this message out so that they too might hear, believe, and live in the good news of Jesus Christ. Donate today at basicgospel.net, a prominent donate link right there on the homepage. Again, that's at basicgospel.net. Now back to Bob Christopher and the Power of Eight.
Well, thanks, Bob. So the law, its purpose was to show us our need for Christ. It was to make us conscious of sin so that we would become accountable to God, so that we would turn to Christ and receive the gift of life and to receive the gift of God's Spirit. And now that we've received the gift of God's Spirit, we're released from the law of sin and death so that we could be joined to another, which we are, so that we could be led by the very Spirit of God. That's how we live the Christian life, being led by the Spirit. So we're talking about, there's great confusion. Many people keep going back to the law as their rule of life. They're trying to live up to its righteous requirements. And every time they do, it continues to tell them that they fall short through their own human effort. Now, another thing that we need to realize about the law is that it goes all the way to the heart. The Pharisees were proud that they were clean externally, but Jesus kept pointing out the sinfulness in their own hearts.
Yeah.
And so he says, "You've heard that it was said, 'Do not commit adultery,' but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in the heart." Now, what is he saying there? That all of these sins that we see manifested, the fruit, start in the heart.
Mm-hmm.
It starts right there. We can be angry in the heart, and that can take on an actual action. We can choose to act on that anger or to act on that lust. So God is saying, if you want to be perfect, if you want to match the standard of the law, you have to be perfect on the outside and the inside. So if you think you're doing pretty good on the outside, just take a look on the inside and see what's going on in that mind of yours. See what's going on in those desires of yours and see if they match up to the perfection of the law, and you're going to find that you are woefully short.
Yeah.
That's just the reality. And if you think that, hey, living up to the law is the way to live the Christian life, we just talked about this earlier, you're going to find out that that very law you're trying to live up to is stirring up the sin inside those members of yours. So the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. In Romans 7, 8, Paul said this, but sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of covetous desire, for apart from the law, sin is dead. And it's so interesting that Paul picked coveting to speak about. And he was a Pharisee of Pharisee, and he said in his letter to the Philippians that according to righteousness, he was without flaw, that he was living up to the righteous requirements, at least he thought he was, until he saw this, thou shalt not covet, and he really took a look at it, and he saw that that commandment produced in him every kind of covetous desire.
Right.
You could walk by a fence and there could be a hole in the fence and no one would ever notice it. You put a sign on that fence that says, do not look in this hole, you're going to get a line. People are going to want to know what's on the other side of that fence.
Yeah.
That's just the way human nature is. So sin, and that's the real problem, seizes the opportunity that's afforded to it by the commandment, and sin produces in us every kind of sinful desire. So we have to die to the law so that we can live to God. We have to die to the law. Let the law be what it was and what God meant it to be. And that was a diagnostic tool to show us our need for salvation. But once it's done its work, its purpose has been fulfilled, it steps aside so that Jesus can do his work. And he can start his work on the inside. He gives us a new heart, doesn't he?
Yes.
That's the good news of the gospel, that everything's made new in Christ Jesus. So we're no longer under the law. We are under the grace of God. If we were under the law, death would be our final destiny.
Mm-hmm.
But since we've died to the law in Christ, eternal life is our destiny.
Right.
And we're going to be with God forever. So as children of God, let's offer ourselves as living sacrifices to God himself so that he can work and live his life in and through us. That is the Christian life. It is a life of faith from start to finish.
Absolutely. Well, that's basic gospel stuff, friends, and thank you for joining us. I want to remind you that we stream live video every day, Monday through Friday, on YouTube and on Facebook. We hope you'll take advantage of that. Bob, once again, great insights from our study, The Power of Eight. Next week, friends, we'll be back for yet another session, and I hope you'll be here for that. For in-depth teaching on these subjects, join us for the Simply Grace Conference, September 6th and 7th. All the information is online at basicgospel.net/events. Once again, basicgospel.net/events. In the meantime, if you have a question about anything you've heard or would like to have answered on this program, please leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. That's, of course, our listener line, and again, the number is 844-322-2742. Or you can email your question to bob@basicgospel.net. Either way, we'll be glad to hear from you, and again, that's bob@basicgospel.net. And remember, Basic Gospel needs your support as we bring the truth of Jesus Christ to the airwaves and online every day, Monday through Friday. To make your gift, click donate at basicgospel.net. There's a prominent link right there on the homepage. Again, that's at basicgospel.net. We hope you'll take advantage of the opportunity to partner with us. Well, now for Bob Christopher and all the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis inviting you to be back with us again on Monday for another edition of Basic Gospel. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.